Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in really need of help from you. We pray, Lord, we pray for just a stillness of all of our hearts, that you might draw each one of us to you. Lord, some of our minds are bouncing back and forth, are busy with the activities of the day or the busyness of what's happened yesterday or last week or appointments that are coming this week. We just ask that you'd still our hearts and minds that we might hear from you this morning. Lord, we really need to hear from you. You alone have changed our lives. You alone can change our lives. And so we just really just come before the throne, bowing our hearts before you, asking you to work mightily in our lives. I just pray that you'd open up the scriptures to each one of us, and God, we might be strengthened, our faith would be increased, and our love for Jesus would just grow and abound. Thank you for what you're going to do this morning, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 1. We're returning back to Mark, and certainly was blessed with the baptism last week. And if you missed the baptisms last week, you missed a blessing. What a joy, joyful time to see the heart of people just obeying the Lord. You know, I think it was Gene who said it just makes you want to get baptized all over again. You know, it took me back when I had gotten baptized back when I was 18. And just a joyful time. Just a joyful time. Mark chapter 1. Let's start in verse 35, if you would. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place. And he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him, sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was one in desolate places, and people were coming out to him from every quarter. There's times in scriptures that you come to a passage and you kind of wrestle with things, at least I do. I see things black and white, and I want to know the information. And God, by his Spirit, takes me over to John when John writes and says this, that everything was ever written that Jesus had done. There's no books that could contain all that. When you think of Jesus' life and the time that his ministry started and it went to the cross, he was one who didn't lose time. He made full opportunity of every moment of his day. I'm not good at that. My wife can tell you. She can tell you at times I'm lazy. She can tell you at times I forget things. She can tell you I get distracted. If I'm on a task and all of a sudden I see something else at the house, I can easily, where she could assume that I'm out doing something, all of a sudden I've gotten distracted. I'm over here. And if it's usually something that takes grunt work and I go after it, then all of a sudden this man mindset comes in me that I've got to conquer this right now. And yet that's not really what I should be doing. And so she's going to look for me here when I'm actually over here and I'm lost. Okay, Jesus wasn't like that. We talked about it before that he was very purposeful and determined, and everything he did was not by accident. And everything that was accomplished that we're able to read through the scriptures is important for us. When Paul says, even speaking of the Old Testament, all those things were written for our learning, for our understanding, for our growth as believers. There are a group, a bunch of believers who do not like to go back to the Old Testament. This morning, we're going to go back to the Old Testament on some things. It points us back to that because it brings to this place here in Mark chapter 1 concerning leprosy. And so the majority of the conversation this morning has to deal with leprosy. An individual who, if you look over in Luke's gospel, it says he was full of leprosy. It implies that his body had a lot of it in him. So what is leprosy? Today it's actually called Hansen's disease. It's not completely curable, but they can prolong the results of leprosy. It's an infectious disease that damages the skin, and if it's left untreated, has the potential to affect the nerve endings of our body. It can cause muscle atrophy, and it also can lead to the losing of certain body parts that would have disfigurements. It can cause blindness. Leprosy was a big deal in the biblical times. It was serious enough to where God had given to Moses in John in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 that he gave ceremonial laws that an individual had to come before the priests. He was pronounced unclean, the individual was, and they were set aside, they were cast away, they were not part of the community, they were not part of the family. It was a big deal. So this man coming to Jesus was a big deal. The sad part about leprosy is it hinders us from being part of the family or community. We are isolated from society and cannot participate in any activity. Nothing. You're outside the camp. You're an outsider. There will be ones who will come and minister to them in some sense, but they're still outsiders. They're not going to be there at the birthday party. They're not going to be at the celebration of certain events that take place. They were unclean. They weren't allowed to touch anyone. No one was supposed to touch them. All of this, I can imagine, would have an effect on their emotional and mental and spiritual state. We just went through a year where we saw some effects of what isolation can do, and it has a big impact. We as believers have got to walk in obedience to the Lord in such a way that we are the body of Christ and we need to minister as the body of Christ. And what does that look like? We need to consider those who are the outcasts or the ones who feel like they're the outcasts. We have a greater responsibility as we name the name of Jesus. Our ministry is certainly important to those around us. Now the scripture gives, we're going to go back to the text here in a bit, but the scripture gives four examples in the Old Testament of leprosy. The first mention of leprosy is in Exodus chapter 4 verse 6. You know the story where God had called to Moses, and Moses is before the Lord, and God commissions him to go back to Egypt to deliver his people out of bondage and slavery. As he does that, Moses is making excuses why he can't go. And God has given him affirmation and information of why you can go, and this is so important for you to be the example before these people that I have sent you, and that they might know that I am. God asked Moses to put his hand into his shirt. And as he brings it out, it's leprous. Listen, leprosy is gross to look upon. I pondered having pictures of lepers on the back. I just couldn't bring myself to it. One, I don't want to stir up your emotions. I want God to speak to our hearts. And so to look at leprosy was... What, can you imagine Moses as he stuck it into a shirt and he brought it out and it was not as it went in? And God says, put it back in. And then he puts it back into his shirt and brings it out and it's whole again. Do you know only God can do that? Do you believe God can, only God can do that? He can do the impossible. The next mention of leprosy is with Miriam and Aaron in Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses to the point they were extremely critical to the one that God had called and was leading them. God was leading him in such a way that God's name was on Moses. Even to the point where he says, prophets have dreams and visions, but I speak to Moses face to face. They were being critical of him. God's anger was stirred, and he allowed Miriam to become leprous. And Aaron beseeches Moses. And Moses, on their behalf, goes and cries before the Lord in prayer, Lord, please, please heal her. And God, in his mercy, healed her, but he said, she's got to be outside the camp for 7 days. Isolation. Isolation is not a fun place to be. The only thing that it could be fun in isolation is if your heart is directed to the Lord and he is able to minister to you. The next one we see in 2 Kings chapter 5. You know the story of Naaman, the Syrian captain of the guard of Syria. Comes down with leprosy. There's a servant girl who says, if you go over to Israel, there's a prophet there, and you see him, God can do something through your life. He goes. He's not happy about the situation because Gehazi, well, first of all, he goes to the king with a letter, a recommendation from his king. And that king makes the statement. He says, am I God that I can give someone to be alive, or that I could have someone die? And he rends his clothes. And Elisha hears about it. And Elisha says, send him to me. Naaman goes, and he's with excitement, hoping that he's going to be able to be touched and healed in some way. As he goes, Elisha stays in the house. He sends his servant out, and he tells Naaman, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. If you have high expectations and they don't happen, what do you feel like? There are times I get angry. I get frustrated. And unfortunately, my wife, at times, she will be the... She's the sounding board. She will experience my frustrations, and there's times she said, honey, but you were expecting this. And then I kind of have a pity party, and I get frustrated and discouraged, and Lord, you know, I have these expectations. If I didn't have any expectations, it seemed like things could go a little bit smoother for me. But Naaman had high expectations. I don't know what he was certainly expecting, if he was going to see, you know, the man of God come out, lay hands on him, and then all of a sudden he's healed. But he says, go dip into Jordan. And he uses the excuse. He says, there's better rivers over here than the Jordan. And then a wise servant says, if he said to do that, why wouldn't he do it? It's just like us, isn't it? Just like us. He goes dip 7 times. He's cured. Ta-da. Only God can do that. As he brings about the healing, he wants to go back and reward Elisha. And Elisha says, no, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. And he takes off. Well, then Gehazi, his servant, Elisha's servant, runs after him and says, take this and this and this and this. And all of a sudden he comes back. Elisha says, where you been? He lied. Elisha said, the leprosy that was on Naaman now will be upon you. The next one, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, King Uzziah. If you read that portion of the scripture, you see that his life starts out very well, walking with the Lord and following the Lord in all obedience. Then one moment, he decides to do something that was not his responsibility, and that was to act as a priest. He was a king. And he tries to burn incense before the Lord. And being reproved by the priests, God brings leprosy upon King Uzziah. 3 acts in the Old Testament shows that it was a judgment of sin. 3 acts. I don't want to imply, first off, that every time someone has leprosy, it's a judgment of God. Or it's a judgment from sin. But we have these examples in the scriptures of the reality of what leprosy is. It certainly is a picture of sin upon someone's life. And this whole passage right here, these 5, 6, 7 verses, is a picture of salvation for us as believers. Because as leprosy is a picture of sin, our lives have been full of sin till we come to Jesus. And it's the glory of God that we, as we come to Christ and we are saved by the blood of Christ, we've been purchased by the Lamb of God who gave himself for us. And he who did not know any sin became sin for us, that we might be made in the right standing with God. We might be made righteousness. It's nothing that we've done. And so when we see this area of leprosy, it's a serious deal. It's big. And I want to make a comment here, a side comment, because it can imply that, and I don't want you to receive it this way, that if there happens to be sickness or some kind of disease that comes upon us, that it's because of sin. It could be, but it's not always. But I want you to know, if something comes upon us, whether it be cancer, whether it be, you know, a broken foot, whether it be a broken hand, or something that happens to us, the one main driving point that God wants from us is that we seek him. He's allowed it. We have the whole book of Job that communicates it. Pushing Job to seek the Lord, to know the Lord. But there are times, if we look at Hebrews chapter 12, that there's a chastening from the Lord, that when we do things and are disobedient to the Lord, he may allow things to take place in our lives for chastisement. And it might be sickness. Last April, when I came down with COVID and was down for 3 weeks, I searched my life. Was there sin that God was speaking to me about? That is usually what John Dudley does when something comes into my life unexpectedly. I do that. In fact, to the point where my family have been so faithful to me to ask the questions, is there anything in your life that God's speaking to you about that he's allowed you to come down with this? Or they'll come after a period of time, what is God saying to you, Dad? One time when I broke my foot, my oldest son, this is back in 1993, I broke this right leg here. I've mentioned that before. I broke it, and my oldest son, 2 or 3 days later, Dad, were you in disobedience that night by going to the gym? And I'm so grateful my kids are willing to ask me those hard questions. But is it because it causes me to stir back to seek the Lord and to know him and to fear the Lord. Because he has great care and concern for our lives. The thing about leprosy is, and some come back to this in a second. Please hear my heart. If you are faced with some ailment right now, I am not saying that you're in sin. I am saying seek the Lord. I'm saying seek the Lord. Know what God is saying to you. If you have if you have cancer, seek the Lord. If you're faced before a situation of a test that's going to take place and you don't know the outcome, seek the Lord. But I will say this, that sicknesses come from the fall. God may give you a sickness unto death that's going to call you home. Even in those situations, it's hard. But God's purposes is that we would see him, we would see his glory and his blessing upon our lives in all things. Because God chooses the avenue by which we all, our days are numbered and we finish those days. He chooses, not us. We as humanity want to we want to give some soft answer to why someone died and not really recognize the truth of the scriptures that says, for the wages of sin is death. When the fall took place and sin came into being, it's going to produce death, and it will always produce death. And it's of God's mercy that we're still alive to this day at this point. But when we die, it's because of sin and the fallen nature. And for a believer, it's a glorious reunion. We just got word a week and a half ago that a dear sister in the Lord went home to be with the Lord the week before. And her husband, they live in Florida. None of you know him in this family. It just grieved Chris and I to hear that our sister, they had just celebrated 30 years of marriage. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful couple you guys would just love. And God called her home, surprisingly. And he in his post, he said, "We will be having the celebration of life here on earth this day, but her celebration has already started." What a perspective. What a perspective. And so the result of sin that's going to eventually eat and take this carcass, God gets to choose the avenue by when that day is and how it's going to happen. And praise be to God. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so please know that sicknesses are a result of the fall. Now let's go back to the text. We see in Mark, I appreciate what the disciples said, verse 37, says, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for Jesus. Oh, that would be wonderful if today was the case. Verse 39, we see that he goes into Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Sometimes my small mind thinks of just a town. Okay, I live in Blissfield, so that's it. You know, Jesus is only just in this one town, Capernaum, and he's not going anywhere. Well, a Jewish historian says there was over 200 cities in the area of Galilee. So this can imply here in this verse that Jesus has already been involved in ministry for a period of time, maybe weeks, months, who knows, before this leper comes in verse 40. As Jesus is busy about the Father's business, living his life for God, he is God, but for the reason why which Jesus came, to preach the good news, the gospel, he's giving of himself. Is it possible that maybe family members heard about this and runs to tell the family member who is a leper about Jesus? We don't know. We don't know that. All we see is a leper coming on the scene. He's finding Jesus. If we go back to Leviticus, anyone was supposed to come up to the leper. That leper was supposed to let them know, unclean, unclean, unclean. And holler. People were supposed to stay away. But we see this man came to Jesus, imploring, begging, beseeching, desiring, wanting Jesus. And he came and he kneeled. Luke's gospel says he fell on his face. It's a position of humility. And everyone who comes to Jesus have got to humble themselves. On a daily basis, each of us have got to humble ourselves before the Lord because we have a great need to be directed by the Lord. We have the assurance that God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And as he kneeled, he said, if you will, you can make me clean. What did he hear that made him such have great confidence that if I came to Jesus, this guy could heal me? What did he possibly see? What did he possibly know? In this text right here, this very verse, Hebrews chapter 6, is being lived out for us. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's being played out in this verse. This man has faith. He's acting upon his faith and he's coming to the right person, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And he says, I know you can do it. We have got to have that confidence by faith that God can do all things. I want that living faith in me and not have a half-hearted faith or a double-minded faith. And he humbly asks the Lord, and it says it's moved with pity. One translation says he's moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand, did something he wasn't supposed to do, according to the law. Keep in mind he came to fulfill the law, not destroy it. And he touched him, and he said to him, I will be clean. And immediately, there's that word that we've talked about. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, And he was made clean. That clean is a beautiful word. The cleansing that takes place in our lives, even that takes place when we're saved. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See and go that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." The scripture doesn't say that he went, and it doesn't say that he didn't went. That he didn't go. I'm sorry. That's not good English. You homeschool moms should have. He didn't went. My homeschool mom's just rolling her eyes at me. It's a good thing I didn't teach my kids English. It doesn't say that he had gone and shown. I don't want to speculate on that. I know that Jesus had told him, and it was to go. And I initially, as I read this, I thought, okay, well, he'd have to go to Jerusalem, but that wasn't the case. There was many synagogues throughout Galilee that he could have showed himself to a priest. It could have been short distance that he went and showed himself. But it was going to be a testimony to them that Jesus healed him. Verse 45, it says, "But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." As I viewed that verse, I thought, it's a beautiful picture of the heart that God has, that everyone would come to Jesus. That everyone would come to Jesus. That it's his will that none should perish, but all should come and repent and be saved. Something I want you to get here out of this whole text is certainly the reality of what scriptures communicate to us. But we see Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the one who has created all things, is what Colossians chapter 1 says. That he is, in verse 15 of Colossians 1, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Here we see in this text right here that this man, this who's a leper, he was created by God, has the effects of sin. Now listen, this applies to every one of us. He was created by God, has the effects of sin in his body, in his life, and he comes to the one who alone can take care of the effects of sin. He alone can do that. Jesus alone can save you and forgive you and cleanse you. There's no one else that can do that but Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Creator. He's our Redeemer. He is the one that loves us with an everlasting love. He's the one that gave himself for us that we might have eternal life. You know, a picture of the verse that this is for me is Romans chapter 11. For it says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things, for the glory of God. To him be glory forever. Amen." We see that God created him, and now we see coming from Jesus the healing, and it's that Jesus would be glorified for his glory. So where do we go from here? What's in it for us? Are you facing something that seems to be completely impossible in your life? Last night, about 9:45, I'm ready to go to bed. My wife, getting ready to go walk upstairs, we get a phone call. And this phone call is troubling. It's not a phone call you want before you preach. It's not life-threatening. It disturbs your peace. It's out of your control. It's a challenge. I have to confess, at one moment I wish the phone call didn't happen. It's people we love. And this phone call presents to us a situation that is completely impossible for me or my wife to be able to bring answers to. Just as the man was at a place where it was impossible for him to continue to live his life because of leprosy. So I laid my head down on my pillow saying, Lord, this is impossible. And it's just too hard to comprehend. It's too hard to understand. Immediately, he took me to Luke chapter 18, verse 27. And it said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Immediately, my hope was stirred. My peace came. I began to pray. And I said, Lord, you've got this. And I began to pray in such a way that, God, you have to do something because I can't do anything. I don't have the answer to the situation. I can't fix this situation. I can't do anything in my own strength or power. God, you have to supernaturally do something in this situation because I can't. What a place to be at. Allowing the Lord to minister to us. And you know what? That's going to be the prayer of Chris and I for this situation now for the weeks ahead. So now, are you physically sick? If you are, let me exhort you and encourage you to do what this leper did. Seek Jesus. Job 42 verse 2 says, I know that you can do all things, and nothing is going to thwart the purposes you have. Everything that we have facing in our lives, God has a very specific purpose for us. As we seek Him, He alone can give the understanding. He might give the understanding in speaking to a brother or sister in Christ. He might do it as you're reading your devotions or studying the scriptures on any morning or any night. You might be listening and driving in the car, listening to a message, and God can speak to you. He can give enlightenment and understanding in such a way to you that will speak peace and hope and life to any situation that you're facing. And if there's sickness in our lives, he's the great physician. And sometimes it's a sickness in our heart that is just aching and breaking us that he wants us to come seek him on. Now here's a big one. When we consider leprosy and what it does and how it begins to desensitize our senses, in some sense our feelings, our touch, those kind of things. Because what would happen is, because of the deadening of the nerves, people don't know the difference between hot and cold. Or if you were to bump it against something. It's amazing to see the disfigurement of fingers or feet or hands or ankles or something, because they don't know. Have you ever cut yourself? How about a paper cut? And then all of a sudden you realize, where's that cut? And then all of a sudden you see the blood. they're sharp. Pain is a good sensor to us to help us to understand something just happened. Usually it's not good. Leprosy deadens that ability to have this, the feelings take place. So let me ask you this question. Spiritually, do you have leprosy? You say, what are you talking about? How's your sensitivity to the Lord? Is it deadened? Have you allowed something into your life or our lives that's not pleasing to the Lord? Is there something that God's asked you to do and we refuse to obey? Is there some unconfessed sin in your life that you've not taken care of? As I was preparing this message, God had shown me a handful of times in my journey and walk of faith with Christ over the years, times that I was insensitive to the Lord. And I have, during this time, in preparation of the message, done some more searching, because I want to have the sensitivity to the Lord, because I know that as I'm sensitive to His voice, I'm willing to obey regardless of the cost. I've done some pretty crazy things in my life that God has asked me to do that other people have said I was crazy. But I've done it, and I've done it in obedience to the Lord, and I've seen life and peace and freedom and joy and happiness, all the things that the fruit of the Spirit does, because I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. So have you lost your sensitivity to the Lord? 1997-98, I allowed sin in my life in such a way that no one knew, only God, me and God, no one else knew. Wasn't blatant, it was sin, we're just going to call it that. 12 years later, God used a brother to speak to me. He got me in my car. It was just him and he's asking questions. He had no clue what was going on in my heart. He's asking questions. And I'm just shaking my head. I didn't even talk to anything, but he's asking the questions. Out of love, out of concern, out of compassion for me, and the Holy Spirit is just speaking to my soul. When I left there, I confessed my sin to my wife, I confessed my sin to my kids, and I knew that I could go forward and make things right that had to get taken right in my life. As I did that, I had deadened the sensitivity of my spirit towards the things of the Lord in some areas. And as I got right with God, He in His faithfulness not only cleansed me, but abounded in my life and brought back the sensitivity that I was once walking in before I allowed sin in my life. Now, I didn't lose my salvation. It was that fellowship that was broken. Turn your Bibles over to 1 John. We're going to close. And I want to ask the question, are you experiencing spiritual leprosy? Well, here's the answer for you. 1 John chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you another question. How well do you deal with your sin? Do you recognize on a daily basis God's desire is that you are clean with Him every day? There are things I do that I'm oblivious of sin that takes place that I just confess before the Lord. I want to be clean. I want to be clean. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, we all know this verse. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word cleanse is the same word Jesus spoke to the leper. Be clean. Be clean. Exact same word. And he's saying it to us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Having spiritual leprosy is confessing our sin before the Lord, getting clean with the Lord that he might demonstrate his power in us and allow that sensitivity to become close, real, alive again. That's his desire for us. So ultimately, how are you viewing God? Is he who Jesus has demonstrated that he can do all things, that nothing is too hard for him, that nothing is impossible with him? And as we would come to him and seek him and know him and trust him, because his grace is calling us this very moment, to not only get right with him as far as any sin or insensitivity towards the Lord, but he's also calling us, anyone that might be here who does not know the Lord Jesus, that grace is being provided and he's drawing you to him. Let's pray. Lord, what love you have for us, that not only you created us, that you would give grace to draw us to yourself and then wonderfully and gloriously save us. What I confess, I don't deserve that. But it's not based on what I deserve. It's based on your love. And we're so grateful for the love of Christ. So I pray that as you speak to our hearts this morning, Father, if there's someone who doesn't know Christ, that you would draw them to yourself and Father, reveal yourself to them, and that God, you'd manifest yourself in a way that would glorify yourself and save them. And Father, just even for us as believers, as we consider our sin, we recognize that you provided for us an opportunity to be clean before you. And so, Lord, please have mercy on us. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from unrighteousness. And Lord, allow our lives to be more sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.